Well, good morning, Saints of God. This is Ty Moore bringing you online Bible school with Grace Institute. And we're sharing this with our other discipleship group, PowerPoint Motivational Word, PowerPoint Discipleship, and Favor Media. We want to welcome you to our Tuesday morning edition as we continue in the line of the lesson about applications of the kingdom of God. Amen. Application of the kingdom of God. And so the applications of the kingdom of God that we are speaking of here is teaching you and I how to walk in the authority that we have as the righteousness of God. And so as we deal with yesterday, we've been dealing, we'll be dealing yesterday and the rest of this week in along the line of how to, you know, about renewing your mind. So because if the kingdom of God, as we talked about yesterday, we opened up yesterday in Matthew chapter 11, and it talked about how the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. And so when we say the word violent, take it by suffered violent, it means to overpower, to be overpowered by force. And so you and I are going to have to be angry, a godly anger, not an anger toward people or thing, but a godly anger when you understand what you and I have as the righteousness of God. So you're going to have to take a position. I will have to take a position that when something comes, attack comes against my body, my finances, my ministry, whatever business I'm in, and et cetera, my family, then I could have this anger, and have this overpowered force of the kingdom of God to do what? To come against the assault, the attack, the infliction that's trying to do what? Put me in bondage, trying to condemn me, trying to put me in a place where I can't function as the righteousness of God. And so if I'm going to walk in these, the new identity that we have as the righteousness of God, understanding that this week of dealing with all the applications of the kingdom of God is about renewing your mind. So until you renew your mind with the word of God, then you're not going to be able to have, you're not going to be able to apply these laws that govern the kingdom of God and see them work on your behalf. And so let's get started in our lesson. Let's make our faith confession. Say it out loud with me. For the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever, whom the Lord has redeemed from the hands of the enemy. Again, I want to say good morning to you. Thank you for joining me. Good morning, Brother George. I see you on that with me this morning. And all the rest of you that is on, I really appreciate you listening in on the class. And so here we stopped off yesterday in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we were giving you, sharing with you that if the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violence is taken by force, that means you're going to have to recognize your enemy. And when you recognize your enemy, then you are able, you are suited, you are dressed, as it will say, dressed to kill. In other words, you're dressed to kill the assault, the attack, because you're dressed to kill is not an outward thing. You're dressed to kill is an inward heart of change, an inward change of heart. And understanding, I'm not going to be religious minded about this. I'm not going to be legalistic about this. I'm not going to allow my traditions about this. But what are you doing? I'm going to look to the word of God and see what my rights are. And then I'm going to apply what I have a right to. And I'm going to trust the Holy Ghost that's inside of me to do what? To release, to do what I can't do. And so as we look at this, this is what you and I can do. Now, there's so many other verses of scripture that will be coming up as I share this. But notice this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. Because the assault is going to come against your thoughts. It's going to come against your mind. Your mind is the battlefield. You hear me speak a lot about your soul. Your soul Well, that's what your mind is. Your soul, your mind, your will, your emotion is functioning in your soul. Your imagination, your conscience, all of these has a connotation upon your soul. And so when God, the Bible said that God blew into man, breathed into man, and he became a living soul. That means the breath of God, the life of God, that made us like God. I still believe that when he said he breathed into us, that God spoke into us, you know, because he said, let us make man. See, Genesis 1:20 says, let us make man. It everything that God made, God spoke first. And then the application of doing what he believed. So he spoke man into existence. And then the breath of God breathed into man the breath of life, his spirit. And man already had a soul. But then it wasn't alive until God, first of all, he spoke. And then what God did, God breathed into man the breath of life of that which he called first. See, faith come by. See, you can't live the victorious life with your mouth closed. Your mouth has to be speaking along the line that give you this confidence. That's why it's so important that you don't allow your tradition or religion or unbelief pull you away from the truth of God's word. You may have been raised in a denominational church, interdenomination, whatever, or even non-denomination. And you may have been taught certain things or certain ways where we believe God for this. And you ask most believers, well, how is that working for you? How do you go about doing that? Well, I don't know. I just believe God going to do it for me. And they don't understand that God has already released all his authority and the power of the Holy Spirit within us through the power of words. And see, you know, to get mankind to know that, you know, if life is going to change, if my crisis is going to change, if the circumstances are going to change, it is going to be because I have an understanding of the truth of whose I am, and therefore I'm going to speak what I have a right to. You know, take an example. When you think about your body, you know, you may have a sickness or illness come upon your body. Well, when you have a reality of 1 Peter 2:24 that said himself bore my sin in his body on the cross or on the tree, that I might be dead to sin. In other words, dead to sin, the thing that the reason the sickness, the reason the disease, the reason the epidemic that's in my body, that's attacking my soul, my mind, my will, my emotion, it's because of sin. Not the sinning, the verb, the action. See, the verb, the action is what God did to man. He breathed into man. But what caused man to become a living soul? What gave man the image and likeness of God? When God breathed into him his life, the life of who he is, the life that he inhaled and exhaled, the life that's already in him. God released the divine energy, the divine life that brought creation, that brought everything into creation through breath. So therefore, man being created in his image and likeness, you using your breath, the breath of God. To do what? To command that which God created to be as God created it. But it won't be because God did it. It will be because you take an authority over what God has put in place. We have an enemy that kind of wrecked things up through the first Adam, but we can restore. We can replace. We can redesign because we have the breath, see, of God. That's the verb. That's the action of the life of God, the life and the nature of the image that you and I have like God. Now, you may have never heard that put like that before, but if you go back and you look at Genesis 1, And you look at verse 26, verse 27, 28, and then you look at Genesis 2 and how God breathed into man. God breathed into man after he spoke. Are you following? If Genesis 2 just teaching you how God did it. That's the reason why your mouth could never be closed when you're living by faith to do what? Thinking that everything going to change if I just keep my mouth closed. No, things may get worse what you keep in your mouth closed if you're not speaking in the light of the one that gave you life. So when I received Jesus as my personal Savior, then the divine energy, the divine life of creation entered into me. Now that same divine breath of life that was in God, that was in Jesus, is now living in this mortal body of mine and of yours if you receive Jesus as the Lord of your life. But just because that energy is there, it's not going to release itself with your mouth closed. It's not going to release itself because you said it. It's going to, that power, that energy is going to release itself because you have knowledge. You have understanding. When you have an experiential knowledge in dealing with the promises of God, then nothing will be impossible to him that believes. I'm going to say it to you. When you have an experiential knowledge, in other words, John 8:32, Jesus said, it's the truth you know. In other words, it's the truth you became intimate with. It's the truth that became one with you. When that truth become one, when you experience that truth as one with you, like you know your name, then guess what? You'll never be at a place of disadvantage. Are you getting this? And so here, when we look at, see, think about your mind is the battlefield in which the enemy wants to use to keep you and I confused, keep us oppressed, bring forth depression through thoughts. You know, well, I wake up again today, yeah, but I got to deal with this again today. I don't know how much more I can take. See, you're using words and you're using a divine energy, but that energy is of death. That energy is bringing you to an end. Knowing that if you have to speak, like the Lord told me some years ago when I, you know, dealing with certain situations, he said, you got to speak. So if you know you have to say something, say what my word said. I never forget that. And it's the same energy. I mean, it's the same, you know, you're using your mouth, but the words itself will begin to start bringing forth a cry of victory, not a cry of defeat. Even though I don't feel it, even though I can't touch it. But if I take my tongue and begin to release that's why it is by faith. When you live by faith, you're not just smiling all the time, but you are angry at the works of darkness. And again, the kingdom of God suffered violent, and the violent take it by force. If you're going to walk in this realm, which you have a right to, you're going to have to have that holy anger, that righteous anger at whatever is causing this hang up. And this is where praying in other tongues does. Praying in the spirit will help you to identify where the breakdown is. Praying in other tongues will help you to know what to do, to connect it. Because it's going to have to be you. The Holy Ghost will give you wisdom. He will give you knowledge. He'll give you understanding. But you have to be the one to vocalize it before the crisis stops. I hope you just understood what I just said. But the fight you're going to have against your mind, especially if you're used to living in a traditional manner, if you're used to thinking in a more logical, more reasonable way. There's nothing logical about this Bible. Amen. And so here we are right here in 2 Corinthians again. Verse 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not what? War. When that say we don't war after the flesh, what is that simpler saying? It's not against my physical body. You're not war in the flesh. In other words, the thoughts. You can't fight a thought with a thought. You got to fight your thoughts with the redemptive words of Christ. That's how you bring down strongholds. That's how you put them under your feet. But if you fight a thought with your thought, then you become more defeated. You become more depleted. You become more depressed. Why? Because you're using what you already know, what you already caught in, and you're trying to make sense of it, and it won't let go. The only way any depression, oppression, fear, lack of finances, whatever it is, whatever's going to let go, it is going to be through the power and the authority of the words that you and I have in this great covenant that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. But again, you have to understand. You have to, first of all, you got to have knowledge. What is that? Knowledge is having an intimate, experiential understanding of the truth. Then you have to have understanding. Understanding comes about, and this is why we say faith comes by hearing. Understanding gives you proper discernment about that situation. When you have the discernment, that means you can see both the good and the bad. So discernment is not, you know, not next month. All next month I'm going to be talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So we'll talk about the gifts of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit. We'll talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit itself. So we're going to do a complete teaching on this, on tongues and everything else. But discerning of spirit is not just discerning an evil spirit. You know, when I was, I first got born again over 42, 43 plus years ago, you know, we talked about, you know, discerning spirit. Everything was always discerning an evil spirit. But it wasn't just dealing with a demonic spirit. It was discerning. Discerning of spirits is just what it is. I can discern the spirit whether it's good or bad. See, your spirit can discern that. Okay? And so that's what you have. Understanding give you discernment. Okay? That, you know, discernment to see, to know whether or not this is the way of the Lord. And then what wisdom does, wisdom comes along and apply what you know, what you understand. See, wisdom gives you that ability. You follow what I'm saying? But if you don't have an understanding, if you don't have knowledge how something works, then you're not going to go whole. You're not going to be confident in what you do. You're not going to be. You're not going to have a strong belief in what you believe, because you could be talked out of it. And if you're dealing with a crisis in your life, and if you're not, if you're looking to someone else to give you light, if you're looking for someone else to lay hands upon you for you to know, if you're looking for someone else to bail you out, you're going to be in trouble. You may get some release every now and then, but I'm telling you, it's nothing like when you could stand before the Spirit of God, get before God yourself, and know for yourself. And this is what this lesson is all about, is to teach you the various application that you can understand. Now, we come down to the point to where, as all this week again, is dealing with renewing the mind so that these applications of the law of the kingdom can work, because your natural mind going to tell you, well, that don't work. Well, I said that before. I've done that. Anytime you have that attitude, that's the enemy using pride from that fallen identity. It's not in your spirit no more, but it's still working in the law of your mind. What does it want to do? It want to get you to turn me off, or someone like me, turn us off. I did all that. He's just repeating himself. And that enemy will use that, because while he know if you keep hearing and hearing, he know that the cycle, the thing that's got you bound, is being broken. Anytime the enemy try to get you away from hearing a word or hearing something in the light of truth, and you kind of back away or you turn, that means you're closer to your breakthrough. But if you shut it off, if you turn it off, or if you look down upon it, then the enemy letting you know he's using your religion, he's using your tradition to think that it's something different. And you don't realize God, you've been crying out to God for the answer and he's talking to you, but you have no discernment, see? That means you have no understanding about how spiritual truths work. And so here, again, when we say, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Well, I live in a physical body, I live in a physical world, but we live in a spiritual realm too. So we live in two realms at the same time. Verse 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. When he said not carnal, it means it's not natural. Your warfare, the weapons that you and I use, is not carnal. It's not natural. And that's the reason why I say you can't fight a thought with a thought. Because the fight is not natural. It's not carnal. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but notice that they are mighty to God. See? If mighty, look what the scripture said. It said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty, notice this, through God. See, through God in the pulling down of stronghold. So that means you will not be able to do this on your own. You'll not be able to do this with your own intellect. You'll not be able to do this with your own education. You're going to only be able to do this through God. All of us that are born again, you have direct access to your Heavenly Father. He's not up there. He lives on the inside of you. You can just look down. And I'm just, you say, but I know what you're saying. I believe what you're saying. But I'm struggling in that area. Well, the reason why you're struggling is because the mind self, the mind, Satan is using deception, devices. I'm going to be talking about that later on in the week. What he's done, he's on the road of playing mind games with you. You know, somebody say, man, it's a mind game. Trying to confuse you. Because you're trying to use your natural mind to make sense of it. No, all of your understanding, my understanding, is going to come out your spirit. And when your spirit releases the divine, that's the breath of life that God breathed. When your spirit releases the divine energy, the soulless part of you has to be open to connect to that energy. And that's what gives you rest. And when you sense that, that's what you grab a hold to and say, whoa, whoa, whoa. That word right there just gave me peace. That word right there just gave me joy. That word right there just gave me some victory. For the weapons of my warfare is not carnal. I've been trying to fight this in the flesh. I've been trying to fight this, you know, with my own intellect. I've been trying to fight this with listening to others through their intellect. It is mighty through God. So if it's mighty through God, okay, how did God deal with this? To the pulling down a stronghold. That's the question. How did God deal with this? God became a man in the flesh. So whatever application that Jesus, God did and gave himself that name, Jesus, above every name, it's the same application that you and I uses. Watch this. He said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold. See, that's what's happening. The enemy is on a roll with his devices, with his wiles of trickery to do what? To confuse you. You had the mind of God in what God spoke to you. But you allow another word to come in and it confused you and took you off of that road. It took you out of the way. I'm speaking to somebody right now. And I'm saying to you, get back in that place where peace was. Wherever that was, whatever that, get back in that place. And when you get back in that place where peace was, now 90% of the battle is won. Now you get back in that place where the peace of God was, and then now you're able to discern properly. You're able to hear more discreetly. See, when you're not in that place called there, it's going to be difficult for you to hear. The enemy going to make sure why? Because confusion. His voice is filled with confusion. I could be speaking to you, and this is the reason why we have to be careful about multitasking. You know, I got this phone off. Make sure nobody don't call me. Because I listened to one of my broadcasts one time, and sometimes because of the business I'm in, people be texting and they be going off, and sometimes it'll ring, and that's not fair to you. But multitasking would be, you know, I even found myself teaching the word of you one at a time, and because of, you know, the urgency of this thing, I'm finding myself looking down, just keeping trying to multitask, teach you, and then be texting at the same time. And that's, no. See what the enemy wants? He want me to lose my thought that God has given me through the Holy Spirit for you. But I have to be the one to make the decision and say, you know what? I'm shutting that thing down. I'm not doing that. I'm robbing the people that God is speaking to me to give to you at this moment, but I'm going to try to do two things at one time. No. See, I'm not concerned about this phone now. My attention is 100% listening to the Holy Spirit inside and giving you out of the force of the kingdom so that you can override, overpower the works of darkness that's trying to do what? Make you the victim and keep you living as the victim and never release you in your mindset that you are the victor. So you got to think in a manner that you are before you can see you are the victor. You may not feel victorious at all. Nothing around you may not even appear victorious at all. That's okay. But if you put your mouth on the right wording of Christ, remember what it said? It said casting down, for the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. So it's already letting you know you. What God is giving you to use is not of this world. It's not of this system. It's not of the flesh. So you need to already put yourself in place of recognizing, okay, this is what God is speaking to me. It's not going to make sense to my natural intellect. See? But it's mighty through God. So if it's mighty through God, well, notice this. The earth was framed by the word of God. It just got polluted through one man's transgression. But you and I don't have to be so much concerned and bound by that anymore because we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Because Christ became that curse for me, for you. Okay? Now watch this. Here's one of the key verses. Casting down imagination. So if you now know that if it's mighty through God, here it is. And notice what it said here. If I'm going to pull down stronghold, how am I going to do it? By casting down imagination. You're not getting rid of your imagination. You're casting down imagination that is contrary to the God who you serve. Are you following what I'm saying? You're casting down imagination that is contrary to the word of God in whom you serve. So when you know the word of God says about something and you have a revelation knowledge of it, then guess what? You say, no, I cast that thought down. No, we ain't going back to that. No, we're not going to do that again. Why? So you got understanding. What are you doing? I'm casting that thought because what the enemy is going to do, he's going to use everything of your past, everything that you walk through from the time of birth, of knowing, up to where you are right now, at the age that you are right now. even saved. So what is he going to do? He's going to use all of your worldview, your past as a worldview, as a mean of the philosophy of how life was measured unto you. And some things were good, but you know a lot of things were bad, and you don't, and others you don't even want to think of. That's the reason why he said casting down imagination. You got to get to the place of where it's no. I'm going to look and see what the word of God said. And if you're not sure at the moment, then guess what? You don't make a move until you dig into the scripture. You can get on your phone and say, Siri, where do I find scriptures on peace? Where do I find scriptures on victory? Where do I find scriptures on prosperity? Where do I find scriptures on healing? It'll give you all the scriptures, but then you have to go there and study them out and look at them. Get you at least five of them out of there, and you begin to draw. You begin to feed on that. So when we say casting down imagination, it means to flush a thought. Like we flush whatever's in the toilet when we leave. It means to flush. So when a thought comes up that wants to bind you, that wants to put you back in a place where you were before, when you made those decisions that you knew that it hurt you, the enemy always wants to use where you've been and bring it back to you again, but he makes it appear as though it was so good when you were in that spot. And you know, and I know, it was nothing good about it, but he'll try to show you the part that was enjoyable. It's like the children of Israel. You know, they wanted to go back to Egypt because, let's see here. Go with me just for a moment to Psalm 95. Let's look at this. Psalm 95, I believe this is right. Oh, praise God. Psalm 95. All right, here we are. And I want you to see where they wanted to go back to where they were before, because they figured that what they had in Egypt was better than where they are at that very moment. And let's see here. Verse 7. Let's look at this. It says, for he is our God. Well, notice it. It says, for he is our God, and we are his people, of his pleasure, or of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. He said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as in the day, the temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me. And notice this, and proved me and saw my works. They saw it. But they were tempted, and they said, for 40 years long was I grieved with that generation and said, it is a people that do error in their hearts, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swore in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Why? Because they were out of Egypt, but their way of thinking of Egypt was still in them. It's like many of us. We are out of the world. We're born again. Our spirit is sealed, but we're still thinking in the world. And, you know, and that's what these classes are all about. So when you understand that you can cast down an imagination, and notice this, and I'm going to close with this right here, this verse. It says, when you cast down imagination, and notice this, every high thing that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. So whatever that thought is that's trying to exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and notice it, and bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. Well, how you could bring every thought to the obedience of Christ? When you understand what the Word of God says about it, and you understand what your tradition, or you understand where you were living out of that mindset before, you say, oh no, I cast that thought down. I'm not even entertaining that. So what are you doing? You're bringing it, that thought, captive in obedience to Christ. That's how you do it. And you're doing it how? By faith. See, when I say by faith, you're literally taking the word and you say, nope, we're not doing that no more. I've been redeemed from that. I'm not going to even entertain that thought. Now what you did, you just stepped out by faith. And you took a stand by saying what the word says. When you did that, some of you didn't realize, but when you did that, that's where your victory is. And every time that thought come back up again in that manner, say, nope, I cast that thought down. I notice what it said, casting imagine down and every high thing that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Just think about what you came out of. Think about what I read about the children of Israel. Their unbelief was trying to exalt itself above the knowledge of God. That's why it grieved God. Because no matter what he showed them, what he revealed to them, their father's heart was still in that same light. And it's the same way. No matter what I'm showing you or teaching with you the word of God, if you're not open to change, your heart will still be hardened to these truths and say, well, I know that. I've done this. Rather than say, I know this, I've done this, you should be saying, I'm going to take another look at that. Why? Because it can help me to see where I'm in error. Remember the Bible and said in Psalm, for they do always error in their heart. They were error in their thinking. No matter what they saw, what did they see? The 10 plagues. And they were not affected by any. What else did they see? They saw Pharaoh coming against them, the angel of God, the light, moved to the back of the pack and caused light for them crossing over the Red Sea while it was darkness in the midst of Pharaoh where they could not move. When they got across the Red Sea and Pharaoh still had a mindset, I'm going to attack them. And he went, that's how hard his heart was. He went after them. And then God told Moses to let down his rod again, and the sea drowned them. They were no more. God got himself victory. They saw that. They witnessed that. And this is why they went back. Go back and read Psalm 95 again and look at it. Believers, there's nothing else God is going to do what he has already done for us. We're going to have to get back in the Bible. And we're going to have to start reading these scriptures again. And we're going to have to start applying them. And that's where the kingdom of God suffered violence. When you see it, you say, I am not taking this no more. I'm not putting up with this no more. Now you're allowing the kingdom of God inside of you to take your rightful place as the righteous of God. See, just because you're righteous don't mean it's going to come to you just because you are and you deserve it. Nope, you're going to walk in it because you made your stand on the truth. Amen? Now, we'll get a little bit further into this lesson tomorrow, but I want to thank you for joining me on our online Bible school. If you have any questions or comments, you know, you can always put them up there on the page, or you can text me privately or whatnot, and I will text you back or whatever, and I do the best I can to help you in whatever it is that what you're facing. So my job as a teacher is to give you the facts, give you the truth, and share it with you in a way that whereas you go back and set before Almighty God, you're set with the Word, you pray in the Spirit, because that's where you're going to be the most affected is when you pray in other tongue. When you take time and pray in tongue, I'm telling you, there are many Christians that started out praying in tongue. Now you hardly ever hear the message about believers praying in the spirit. Because the enemy know. That's where the power is. That's where the power is. Are you understand what I'm saying? It's like, you know, if your lights go out, you can cook, you know, put some candles on for a little while. You know, you can run your little generator for a little while, but sooner or later, you're going to want what? You're going to want that power that's supposed to come, that's supposed to be already generating in your house. Well, that power that's supposed to be generating through you and I is through the Holy Ghost. And guess what? You got to be filled with it. It's not a different Holy Ghost. It's the same one, but you have to be filled with it to the overflowing that you're speaking in other tongues. As a glass that sits up under a water faucet. You leave it there long enough, what happens? It overflows. What is it overflow? It's overflowing of the same life that's in you. It's spilling over on the inside. It's affecting your thoughts. It's affecting your emotion. It's affecting your intellect. That's what the enemy don't want. Because now you're going to start acting and behaving like Christ. Rather than knowing that, you know, I am the righteousness of God. Now you're going to start behaving that way. Now you're going to start allowing that life of Christ in you to display itself in every situation, in every circumstance. And that's what the enemy don't want. It don't want Christ in us to be on display. It want us all to look as human. We all angry. We all mad. We all suffering. We all fearful. Even though we're born again, we all fear. No, the devil is a lie. I'll not live in fear. I'll not live sick. I hate sickness just like I hate anything that would cause me to live in sin. I will not live sick. I will not tolerate sickness. I will not tolerate poverty. I will not tolerate anything of darkness. I'm going to get to the word and I'm going to stay with it until I break loose from it. Because I have that right. And so do you. Well, I love you. My time is up. It's gone. Until the next time, may God's best and his favor be with you. I hope this lesson helped you. And we'll do it again tomorrow, God willing. Bye-bye, everyone. Have a great day in Christ.